Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Tosh, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Edition. The do I text Kirk Ferentz, Iowa head football coach, and let him know that two of his, not just one, but two today, of his prized former players are on our program edition. The V is for Vendetta. I think that was a movie right around the time that Dallas was popular, maybe a little bit later. But what are we doing here? Social media, man. I don't know. Edition. And the Riley Yauch is here for a second consecutive day. How many days is Jesse spending in at Bradley University telling people, hey, the best way to succeed in this business is to take a lot of days off and delegate. How long does it take to tell kids that?
It might be it's best to just not go and not let people know what you do. Might be another thing.
Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com. And the all-new, all-improved, all-free ESPN Wisconsin app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Riley Yauch, the aforementioned Riley Yauch, is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, and from his undisclosed location, he's not hitting the transfer portal. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right, J-Dub. How are you with the attack on your brethren? Your attack on the Rob Domofskys and the Spoons?
Yeah.
You doing okay?
Well, I'm fine, and Rob is fine. He and I have been friends.
Sensitive, but fine.
Well, I can agree. Look, first of all, if we did power rankings of sensitivity among the beat corps, like he's a distant second, and maybe even further behind. I'm clearly more sensitive. I own that. I wear that. I get that. But I don't. I'm frustrated by this. So for those of you that are like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm not the only one who takes this idea that we are the conduit to the fans seriously. You can criticize me for a lot of things, including how many more of those muffins do you have left?
There's a lot left.
And is this an admission that you were wrong to try and force feed them to Eleanor?
No.
Or
I'm eating them every morning. They're great. Like, no, it's not. If anything, it's the opposite of an admission. I think there might be a little bit of mold.
Oh,
yummy.
So, I don't think
Are you sure
it's
that's
mold.
A freezer burn?
Sure. Yeah, I think it's freezer burn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, continue to enjoy those protein muffins.
It's not an admission of anything. It's a healthy baby little pro. It's not like I'm asking her to eat one of those jumbo muffins from, you know, that's not where we're at. These are little baby protein muffins.
Tausch, next time you're in the office, can you bring us some of these protein muffins? We can munch on them?
No. They taste terrible.
They do not taste terrible. I'm going to bring one for Youngster. I would hesitate because just like Elaine in Seinfeld, when she found out that the sponge was off the market, this is it. We're the supply is becoming limited in the freezer burned, potentially molded protein muffins are starting to fit. We don't have the stockpile I had. It is now dwindling.
How many would you say?
I will share one with Riley.
How many would you say are left in the bag? Did you buy these?
Well, they're not in the bag.
Did you buy these at one of those warehouse stores that do sell ice cream, but we will not give away free advertising? There are two primarily. You got like 1,000 muffins?
It's not 1,000, but it was a substantial amount. And again, for those who don't listen every day, Eleanor banned me from eating them when they first came. And then 2 days later, couldn't eat one, didn't want to eat anymore. And then they've been sitting there. Probably 2 to 3 years old, freezered, and freezer burnt, but they're still really good. And
just
I would
pop
bet
them
Riley
in the microwave,
say,
30 seconds, and boom, you've got a delicacy.
That's exactly what
Fresh
I did.
Fresh baked
so, okay,
goods.
I didn't mean to sidetrack you.
No,
you
can't
it's
say
a fantastic little muffin.
You can't say you didn't mean to sidetrack me when you hold up the muffin to the camera.
Well, yeah, but there's
ooh,
two
here,
different
here,
shows
here's
going
my
on.
Muffin. Yeah, would you like to
There's
see my
two
muffin?
Different shows going on. All right,
three really. If you go look into the YouTube comments, they were doing a whole show on the draft yesterday. I think in Milwaukee. It's we are here to serve the people, which gets back to my original point. So yesterday, Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel wrote a piece, basically saying and. I hate doing this because this is how I think everyone has reported throughout this process the unlikelihood of Jair Alexander still being on the Packers roster. Now, Spoon had some more details, including, according to his sources, that they decided right after the season that they were donezo with Ja. Which, again, I believe that. Now, can things change over the course of time? You have some conversations. You feel differently about it. Sure, of course. I've told the story multiple times now of talking to someone who works in the building and not on the janitorial staff who said, look, the guy is still a really good player. And then I said, when he plays. And then he said, yeah, that's fair. But it's not like they think he's washed. It's just that I don't think, Goody especially, having gone through the Bakhtiari experience.
Would they tell you if they thought he was washed, though?
Yes. The person I talked to would. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so my point is that we have, because this is such an unusual scenario where you kind of know a guy's time has come to an end, and yet here we are a week away from the draft, and he's still on the roster. The off-season program starting 5 days from now, virtually, though it may be. But it's like this, like the breakup, the film that you referenced yesterday when we were talking about handing money down the aisle at a baseball game. Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston still live together in their condominium in Chicago, even though they're broken up. And that's kind of how Ja and the Packers are. He's still on the roster, but I keep going back to the fact that Goody said something that I have never heard Ron, Mike Sherman, Ted, or Goody say about a player who is still on the roster.
Well, if he's not going to be here and he's not going to be helping us win games, then we want to get something for him because we've invested a lot in Jair. I've never heard a player who's still on the roster talked about in the theoretical. That you know how coaches and general managers, well, that's a hypothetical. That's a hypothetical. If that's hypothetical. If he's not here. So this has been a long, drawn-out saga, which is going to almost certainly have the same end game that we've expected from the beginning, which is Jair Alexander playing for somebody else. Bottom line.
Maybe he won't play anywhere.
I think that's probably unlikely, but sure, we could allow for that possibility. So anyway, our friend Rob Domofsky, who is an outstanding reporter, he does a great job. He is so much better at the reporting side than I am. I just, when I saw this tweet from him yesterday sharing Tom Silverstein's story and saying, to everyone who thinks there's some personal vendetta here against Jair, Tom Silverstein is also reporting the same thing, that one way or another, Green Bay is planning to move on from Jair Alexander. If you don't believe my reporting, maybe you'll believe Spoon's. And this is what I don't understand. Like, none of us have anything against Jair. None of us. Not Rob, not Spoon, not me, certainly not Wes Hodkowitz at Packers.com. Like, what I don't understand is, do fans actually think that we hold a measure of power that we can influence what the team will do based on what we report or what we talk about on the radio?
I would hope not. To act as if you can't at least start a narrative, of course you can. And that narrative then can either not go anywhere or it can balloon up. It's what you choose to report, and this isn't just sports, it's obviously the world. What you choose to report and what you choose to not report does make a big difference in shaping the narrative for what used to be weeks, now it's for hours. Yeah. So if nobody reports on Jair, nobody's going to talk about him, or it will be smaller. If people put this out and start that narrative, you better be right, A, and B, you guys have a responsibility to be responsible.
Yeah.
Not everybody on the internet does. So that's why when you write something and you take things, not to say, oh, well, Wilde said we should cut this guy, we're going to cut him. No. But what does happen is you end up getting the conversation maybe jump-started, and then that narrative does take hold. Because, as we've been told, perception does become reality, especially if guys aren't bringing their own story. So Jair has not talked, as far as I know, to anybody.
No,
he hasn't said a word
since the locker.
So what happens, then all of these conversations become the reality for Packer fans that want to see Jair back. If Jair came out and said, I want to be back in Green Bay, the beauty of the new world is that he has access to do that anytime he wants. Doesn't mean he has to, but yes, you guys do have, albeit a shrinking, in my opinion, influence on how that goes. There still is the narrative that gets put out. And that does take up, especially really good articles that make you think, will continue to multiply on Packers Twitter and in the Packers blogosphere and just in all these chats and everything else.
So I think it's important, though, for those that don't, maybe you don't care, but like, you're only as good as your sources. And so when I mention the person that works in the building, I feel very, 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 very confident in that person knowing what the hell's going on. When I say, I don't know, a source close to Davante Adams, I feel very, very, very confident in that source. Because you don't hear me do a whole lot of sourcing because, quite frankly, I don't
play the
game. But
in fairness, Jason, in fairness, yes, but you can also be used.
That's what I'm saying about sourcing. Yep.
Maybe a couple years ago that there were some sources that are getting some things out. I'm not going to say used. I'll say utilized to get
that
their narrative.
You think that's better? You feel like that's better?
Nobody wants to be used, but you want to be utilized. So, yes.
Okay. My point is that I think the way this has been drawn out has caused people to say, well, maybe they'll keep him, right? Yeah. Because usually when you've kind of decided to move on from someone, you move on from them. And we've heard many, many times over the years, well, we wanted to give him a chance to catch on with someone else. He's done a lot for our franchise. That's not the case here anyway. No. But I just want people to understand that we talk to people. We don't always say, so-and-so told me this. That's not how that part works. It's on background. But if you recall, when there was a certain quarterback who was disgruntled, we, on this program, had a lot of background information from a very good source. And so that shaped the conversations we had. That is what I try to do here. So we have a measure of responsibility, but we also have a measure of accuracy. And my point with Rob's story and Tom Silverstein's story yesterday is that while it is, there's nothing really changed there. There are some details in each of their stories over the last month or so that further what we already assumed was going to happen, which is they are moving on from it. And him working out at some warm weather climate with Xavier McKinney got people's hopes up.
Yeah,
right?
It did.
And I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah.
But ultimately, there's a couple of pieces here that I think it's important to talk about. One, Jair doesn't have any, and we've talked about this a bunch, there was no roster bonus to be paid out. So there was no deadline of saying, we don't want to pay this guy $8 million.
Nope.
Okay? Two, he
holds
the power.
Let's be honest. Yes.
To say, I don't want to restructure my deal.
So here's the deal. The Packers don't want him back. That's been abundantly clear. I don't even know if they want him back on a less money deal or if it was incentive-based. I just don't think they want him back.
I think
the bottom line is, they have not received any offer of any semblance of worth that makes it worth their time to say we're done. So they're going to hang on and hold out. And my guess is after the draft, when you have to have roster spots and you have to maneuver your roster a little bit, and the fact that nobody is going to give up a conditional pick, I would believe that they'll cut him. Now, I think the best case scenario now is somebody throws a seventh or a sixth round pick at these boys, and it's like, all right,
right.
Good luck to you, Jair. Let's move on.
So that's all Goody's hoping for, I would bet.
That's where we're at, and I think you can. I don't think Jair has been a good player. It hasn't really been consistent enough the last two or three years. I think most Packer fans that are into it see that and understand it. Everybody hopes that there's like a resurgence. There's the Jair Renaissance period could come. And I think we as Packer fans need to understand, if that Renaissance does indeed come, it's not going to be in a green gold uniform. It's going to be somewhere else. And that's always the risk. I mean, I am not, unlike Jason, going to compare any other players to Charles Woodson. But you could make the argument that that is what is going to probably need to happen on a much smaller scale. And maybe he'll come back to Green Bay and finish his career when he's 32 and 33 and he is matured a little bit, just like Charles needed to mature. Whether or not that happens, I don't know. I would not bet that that is going to happen, but I would bet that Jair Alexander has played his last snap in Green Bay and will be either traded for a late pick or is going to be unconditionally released probably before the Packers get their rookies into camp. That's what I would think.
And let's remember, Jordy Nelson was cut. Charles Woodson was cut on my birthday, 2013. Like, Charles Woodson was ready to, unlike Jair, Charles Woodson would have taken a pay cut to stay in Green Bay. He has said that publicly. And Ted said, nope, we're done. Thank you for your service, and moved on. So lots. You were cut, technically. Right?
Almost every player gets cut. Almost every player. Brett Favre was cut by the Jets.
Leroy Butler was cut.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going into the Pro Football, or he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So
very few players aren't cut.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of any off the top of my head that were never cut via injury, whatnot, whatnot. Mm-hmm. And that number is very, very small.
Well, we have not been cut by the team at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Instead, we were given
great... Is
there
a team... I'll tease out after I tell you about the draft. There is a lot of buzz surrounding the draft. It's up. We're only, 8 days out. Jason and I and maybe Jesse, I don't know who's all going to be up. We're going to be doing the shows from up in Green Bay on Thursday and Friday next week. Couldn't be more exciting. Going to be a fantastic night. But you're not going to find any draft seeping through Pella's windows and doors. In fact, you should make Pella your number one pick, because right now you can take advantage of no interest financing options, or you get free glass upgrades. Their talented designers and installers can match your home's unique decor through seamless customizations. Certain restrictions do apply. This deal ends April 30th. So place your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com. I guess since we've now come to grips with the fact that Jair won't be a Green Bay Packer, at least in our opinion, is there a team that you would really not want to see him play for next season? There is for me. I'll tell you which
team.
I don't want to see
which team it is.
Sorry, go ahead.
Why do you hate teases so much?
I don't hate them. I find them amusing. No,
I'll do it next. It's Wildy and Tosh.
Just to be clear, I don't have any vendettas against teases.
You don't like them, though.
No, I do like them, and I think they're good. I just find it funny.
You never do it, and you always bust my chops.
What do you mean, I never do it?
Rarely do you tease. Come on. Like that. Let's not try to distort reality.
Okay, pay off your tease so we can get to Bulaga, would you?
You disagree with me on that? Always... You think you're Johnny Teaser?
I tease.
Really?
I tease on a semi-regular basis.
When's your last tease?
We'll talk to Brian Bulaga next. It's Wildy and Tosh.
Is that a tease, or is that stating what's happening? That's not a tease.
Yeah, because they know exactly what's coming next.
If you said, and we have my favorite right tackle who started in Super Bowl, blah, 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 he will be joining us next. That would kind of tease.
But it's still, if I say who started Super Bowl, blah, 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 45.
Well, teasing, you're not a tease guy. You don't have to be somebody you're not. Don't fake it. You know what I mean? So I won't fake this either. I think Jair, obviously that injury on that warm, beautiful day against the Pittsburgh Steelers at Lambeau set him back. He has not been
Najee
the same
player. Najee Harris. Yeah.
I keep wanting to say Najee Davenport, but Najee went deuces B for a while, a long time ago. He hadn't been there. So I don't know
now
what
that
exactly.
Was good.
Thank you. I don't exactly know where his ceiling is now. I thought he's had a few games since then where you kind of started seeing the old Jair, mm-hmm. but not to the same degree. And obviously he's not been consistent, but when he shut down Jay Jettis and he did the gritty on him and all that good jazz a couple years ago, that's when you started thinking, and then in that postseason, right, you started feeling like, all right, old boy's back. And then last year, the Bears game, only playing 5 or 6 snaps. But the team I don't want to see him go to,
the Detroit Lions,
is the Detroit Lions. Don't want him going to Detroit. And that's where I think it might behoove Green Bay, and maybe Green Bay doesn't care. Maybe. But if Green Bay can, I think you find a team that maybe he won't be as motivated, and you try to get a 7th-round conditional pick so that you can steer where Jair's going. But the problem with this is nobody is going to take Jair with that contract for a 7th, 8th, a 45th pick. They're just not going to do that. So if the Detroit Lions feel like Jair can still play, I think his motivation would be to stick it here, and he obviously has a vendetta against Jay Jettis. I don't want him going to Detroit anywhere else. And again, can he stay healthy? Because as Jason and his sourcing talked to, he still can play. I don't know if he can still play at that level when he was, in my opinion, depoy-ish. I don't know if we'll ever get back to that point in his career. I just don't.
If Prize Picks offered a season-long projection of 9.5 games played by Jair Alexander for his next team, would you go more or would you go less?
I'd go less. Just because that's what the history. So with Prize Picks, you can hit, they have a little button in the left-hand corner that you hit, and it shows you the history, whether it's Giannis will score 28.5, and then they'll show you a 5 or 6-game stretch. Green is up, red, he hasn't. You can get a study on that. His study would be less. Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. You can turn your sports opinions, like Jason just asked me, into real money. You went up to 2,000 times your cash. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks. And, oh, baby, the NBA playoffs are here. You had the play-in last night. You got Bucks, Pacers. You got Rockets, Warriors, Lakers, T-Wolves. Don't miss out on your chance to cash in as the league's best fight to win that championship. Download your app today. Use that promo code WI, and you get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. I think I'm going to go Giannis more. I think that's where I'm sitting right now. And then it comes down to, I think they can stop Halliburton. Game one on the road. You know Giannis can be a dog. He's going to be a dog. How about the other players? Are they going to be dogs on the road? That's always the question. Prize Picks, you can run your game.
My favorite right tackle in Packers history. I'll tell you who it is Forrester, when he joins us next. Earl Dotson on Wilde and Tausch.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard.
Of our famous friend Brian Bulaga on the internet. I mean, there are some good ones, including this one where he and his four fellow offensive linemen at Iowa are doing some sort of a chorus line jumping thing.
And that, I'm shocked he still got picked in the first round when you see a picture like that. I'd be very surprised. He looks like he's in the Rockettes or something like that.
Hi, Brian.
What's going on? Yeah, media day back in
Jason's
Iowa. Young and impressive.
What was that?
Media day
in
Iowa.
So, Brian, you probably had a reporter saying, "Hey, this would be fun. Why don't you guys do this? And then we're going to utilize that picture to make fun of you for 15 years." That's kind of the whole shaping narratives. That's kind of what happened right there. Oh, this would be cute. Nobody will see this. Oh, let's have some fun with it. And then that's what gets posted.
Yeah, that's probably mostly, yeah, that's likely how it goes, and you don't think about that at the time, and that's how it turns out.
Thank you to the Des Moines Register for suggesting that post at Media Day back in Iowa City. Well, you're the first of two former Hawkeyes on the program today, you in your regular spot, which you know this is our favorite day of the week. On top of that, we'll be joined by Matt Bowen, another former Hawkeye who played in the NFL, in Tausch's draft class. I believe, Tausch, how many picks were you after Tom Brady?
24, 25, something like that.
I think Matt Bowen was either the pick right before or right after Brady.
He was the pick right before right Tom Brady.
There you go. That's what I thought. That was from memory. So thank you, Riley, for your help. Brian, the draft is almost upon us, but we were talking a little bit about the Jair Alexander situation, which continues to both evolve and have nothing change at the same time, which is kind of weird. Did you feel like I had a vendetta against you and I was trying to run you out of town? Did you feel that way at any point?
No, I didn't feel that at all. I didn't feel anyone had a vendetta against me trying to run me out of town. During my time, I felt like my final year I played well enough that nobody was suggesting that I should walk at that point. I mean, if I would have played bad that final year, it probably would have been a lot different, opinions that were being written about mm-hmm. that year. But in 2019, I played one of my best years of football. So the opinions from, yourself and a lot of the writers that were around us every day was a lot different. So, I mean, it was the age. I mean, that's at the end of the day, like, we get an age and injury history. It is what it is. And that was the deciding factor at the end of the day. I get they brought in Ricky Wagner, who might have been older than me or maybe roughly the same age.
Cheaper.
But cheaper. Yeah, cheaper for sure. But that was the deciding factor at the end of the day, and it is what it is.
Well, you did win our Tom Mulhern Award that year. You, Tremont Williams, and Mason Crosby all tied.
That's
which
the kiss
may...
of death, man.
No,
Chamber
I believe
Chamber of Commerce Award and the Mulhern Award. That means you're on your way out the door.
It's not true.
Thank you for your service.
No, not
it is.
True.
That's kind of
last
what happens.
Last year's winners were
Hey, Blue. You're
Josh
a good
Jacobs.
Guy. You get the Chamber of Commerce Award. You've done great.
And Xavier
the
McKinney. They're not going anywhere. But might we have conjured up the balloting slightly because Blue had been so good and we didn't think the Packers were going to bring him back, not because we didn't want him back in the locker
room. You rigged the vote. Oh, interesting. Okay.
There may have been some vote swapping to make sure that we covered three guys that had been great media guys that were on their way out the door.
All right, Blue, before we get into Wildy's vote rigging and everything else, I had a comment yesterday. About the Packers, it was basically, what picks would shock you? I said quarterback, and that's it. If they picked a quarterback early, that would shock me. Outside of that, I am not going to be shocked. And am I crazy to think that the Packers should look seriously, if there's an Ashton Jeanty falls to them, or if there is a back that they love, second, third round, is it crazy to think, even though Josh Jacobs is a stud and had a great season, that the Packers should think long and hard about grabbing a guy that they think can be a home run hitter at that spot?
In the second or third round, yeah, I would definitely take a long think on it because, how durable Jacobs was last year, I'm not saying he can't do it again. I'm not saying he can't repeat it, but we know the running back position in the NFL is a tough one. And if this offense continues to rely on him, which we all expect, this offense is going to run through him in some capacity again this upcoming year, there's a chance, and I'm not even putting it out there in the universe, right? Like, I'm not even saying it, but there's a chance that he could miss a play or two, right? Like,
break a chin strap. Break a shoelace, as Campy would say.
It could be a shoelace. He could need a new shoelace or something. And if he has a shoelace that gets ripped, you got to have someone that you can rely on to go in there and be just as dynamic. And so if there's a guy that you love that's in there in the second or third round that falls to you, I don't mind if you take him at all. Like, I think that'd be a solid pick because having good backs – I always look at that as like having good linemen, right? Like, you don't think about it until you need them. You know what I mean? Like, until it pops up, like, yeah, you got your good running back, you got Jacobs, and like, you think, okay, now we can look elsewhere. Well, what if Jacobs misses a game or two, right? Then you're looking at that position and it's just not the same. It's the same thing with the offensive line. You're down a left tackle or you're down a starting guard. And then you're looking at what's filling in and you're like, wow, that's really not that good. We missed the mark there. So I kind of look at it as the same, where you can't cover that position up if your stud's missing, where there's other positions on the field where you can normally game plan around it and cover it and do a good job of hiding it. Those are two spots where you can't. So if a back's there, I'm all for it, man. Take him.
Yeah. I had a discussion on KBN yesterday that if they drafted an O lineman or a D lineman, everybody, fans are going to be a little bit irritated. I won't be. And the amount of just venom from Kyle Wallace about having an O lineman drafted. Well, then what? Oh, what are you expecting with Jordan Morgan? And I said, well, listen, man, you got three starters probably are going to be unrestricted free agents moving forward. You can never have enough good offensive linemen, but I do think he's probably going to be right. If the Packers draft AO linemen early, especially in the first round, Packer fans will be upset. I'm assuming you'll join my club and say that they shouldn't be, right?
I don't think that they should be upset, but I can understand why they would be. Jason and I have talked about this a bunch. I mean, you've been on and we've talked about this. Like, having three guys that are unrestricted in the same year is a tough deal. So that means after this year, you're going to have to either re-sign some of them, or some of them are all, you know, some are walking, some are staying, whatever the combination is, you're going to have to replace those guys. So, like, you have to start looking a couple years down the road, you know, in this draft and how you're going to replace those guys. So if there's someone that you love that falls to you to 23 and he's an offensive lineman, you take him. But, like, I can understand why fans are going to be upset, because they're looking from a standpoint of wide receiver. They're looking at the standpoint of potentially DB. Maybe even if there's a stud pass rusher, right? Like, and I know that's D-line, but, like, they're looking at it from that standpoint, the positions that didn't get hit during free agency that were the hot topics during free agency, right? To me, that's where I think the fans will probably be a little upset, but to me, you can never have enough good big men, because that is the biggest shortage in the NFL today. Like, if you look across the board and if you poll GMs, probably, you know, all 32 of them, and say, what's probably the biggest need year in and year out of your team? I mean, take away the quarterback, obviously, right? Like, that's every team's going to say quarterback. Like, we need a quarterback, obviously. Get it. But besides that, what do you think, like, is your biggest need every year? Chances are they're going to say offensive linemen, because, like, they just don't come out of the college ready to go like they used to. Like, they're not ready to go, and the quality of them these days just aren't the same. So if there's good ones, you take them and you hold on to them and you make sure you develop them and get them ready to go for the future.
So, Blue, if you had to predict, you have Tom, you got Ryan, you got Walker. I think we're both going to agree Zach Thompson's going to get a big, fat extension. Would you think that one of the other two will still be on this roster next season at this time? Would you say both will be, or would you say neither would be?
Good question.
I would say one will be. I'll say one.
Okay.
And I think it's probably going to be Sean Ryan, if I had to take a guess. Because I think Rashid Walker at left tackle will price himself out of it, which is totally great for him, right? Like, I just,
yeah.
the left tackle market, a starter, he's not going to, I mean, he shouldn't, right? If he plays the way I think I know he's capable of and the way he wants to play, he's not going to take some deal that is bad for him, right? Like, there's no point to do that. When the market will be good for him, right? Like, I mean, there's a lot of teams that could use a guy like him. So, like, why would he take a deal that's bad? And that's just the way I look at it. But Sean Ryan is an interesting kind of deal, right? Like, he's kind of had to fight his way into this starting job. He's been rotated in and out. Does he take another short-term or a one-year prove-it deal to play another solid year, then get an extension? Or how does that look? That to me will be an interesting negotiation or how that works out after the season. Now, it all depends on how he plays, right? Like, it all depends on how the product looks on the field this season, right? Like, I don't want to, you know, get ahead of myself, but all signs to me from last year, you know, coming in to this offseason, shown that he's getting better. So, like, if that trend continues, it'll be an interesting negotiation this offseason for him.
So before we take a break and then get to more tackle talk, I have a question for both of you. So we're looking at an offensive line where not one, not two, but three guys are going to be free agents at the same time. We're looking at a wide receiver room where Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs will be free agents as well heading into next March. And then the following year, barring extensions, Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks will be free agents. And I think Bo Melton is in that group either for next year or the year after as well. I think he was an exclusive rights free agent this year. We all agree, unless I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong, we all agree that the league is a young man's game philosophy that Goody has is, as an overarching theory, the right way to approach roster building. Yes? We're all in agreement?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Is one of the drawbacks to that, though, that you put yourself, and Brian, this is what you and I were talking about a couple weeks ago, you put yourself in this position where you just have a glut of guys who are in contract situations where they either need an extension or you need to let them walk and replace them. Like, you know, I've obviously done this a long time. There weren't a lot of times where we got to March and I'm like, wow, they got three guys at position X that are all going to be free agents. And here we are now with three linemen, two wide receivers, two more wide receivers next year. And those are all guys that have played a ton of snaps. Is that a drawback to this approach?
No, and here's why. And I think what we've seen the Packers do, and this has been really from a historical standpoint, but really with Russ and Goody, they have been less proactive signing guys early, and then you get discounts when you sign guys early. They haven't done that in many cases, but when they have, it's been their studs. It's been Elgton Jenkins that they went and did. They did Kenny Clark, I think, back in the day where they signed him early. There are exceptions to that rule, but for the most part, they have said, let's see this out. And unless you are proving that you are a all-pro, Pro Bowl player early, they're letting the process play itself out longer. And that does get prohibitive in the fact that when you're in this spot. But in this case, Zach Tom's going to get a new deal. I would bet donuts to dollars. He ain't playing this year without a new deal. So that will then say, okay, there's two. And what you see is, you keep replenishing the back end, and the Packers, and this goes back to that quote that you had, Jason, from Goody, about only, what, 1.5 draft picks get a second deal or whatever that number was?
Yeah, 1.6.
In the old days, wow. John Runyon Jr. would have got extended by the Packers. He would have stayed. They didn't do that. They thought they could get better, cheaper, and younger, and they're going to pay premium dollars for the premium positions with premium players. They feel fine about doing that. And they're going to continue to replenish younger players at these other spots that they don't feel, they don't want to overpay for just solid play. They want you to be premium, or they think they can replace you as a younger player. That's how I see this thing shaking out.
Yeah. That's what it looks like. And you know, quite frankly, like, it's hard to, and believe me, it's hard to look at, I guess we could discuss what solid play is and what, you know, I guess that could be a discussion as well, what we think that is or what we don't think that is, and you know, that's a whole nother debate. But to that point, it's hard, and especially as a GM and putting together a team, it's hard to let solid performers walk and take that risk and bring in younger guys that you don't know if that's going to pan out. So that he's taking a lot of risk when he does that, and it does work out. Hey, man, that's great that it pans out that way. He's taking that risk, but it's worked out up to this point. Now with the offensive line room and how that's going to work out and how he's going to manage that. Obviously, they signed the free agent this year, so he secures a spot there. He pays the premium at that position. We get it. The wide receiver room is going to be unique in how he does it. Because if he doesn't address the position in the draft this year, which I would imagine he does in either the second or third round, I would take a guess that he does. I can't see that he doesn't. But say he doesn't, right? Like, say he doesn't make a pick as for a wideout. It'll be very interesting to see what he does, because I don't know what you do then with those two guys that are becoming free agents, because obviously the Watson situation is very unique because he's coming back very late. And to me, you know, he is a guy that has re-signed written all over it if he was coming back earlier, right? Like, and he gets to show he's healthy and his knee's good and he's performing it the way we all know he can. He's a re-sign all day. But since he's coming back a little bit later, and we don't know, is he going to be able to hop right back into it after an ACL from experience, it's a tougher decision. And it's one that, for him, like, he knows he feels good. He's not going to take a cheap prove-it year. So, like, it's going to be an interesting balancing act of, do we let, you know, a guy like that walk, or how do we do it? And to me,
right.
I agree with Tausch with how he put that, but the wide receiver room in this circumstance is a sticky position. Like, it's just an interesting spot that they're in, given the production from last year as well, right? Like, you take it all in from a whole, how the room performed, now the injury deal with Watson and even Dobbs too, and how they're going to go
right,
about
the concussions, yeah.
Yeah, who they bring back. It'll be interesting how Goody and Russ kind of go about it. Because to me, Watson's a re-sign. To me personally, yep. he's a re-sign. But it's just what is Watson willing to take?
Blue, if Dobbs goes out and has 80 catches this year, are you re-signing him?
Oh, I would. Yes, I would. I would re-sign those two guys.
Okay.
I like those two guys.
Okay.
But here's the thing with Dobbs. To me, it's, does he get through it without any head issues? Like, because the head injuries are an issue, man. Like, I hate to pick on injuries. But, like, head injuries are different than a hamstring injury, and they're different than a knee issue, and they're different than an ankle. They're head injuries. And, like, it's one hit. It's one time. And that, you know, that could sideline someone that's had repeat issues for 8 weeks, 9 weeks. And it's not the guy's fault. It's just the way it is. So, like, it's a tough situation.
Yeah. I'd have a hard time signing Dobbs too, because these contracts now aren't going to be 3 years, $30 million. They're going to be $20-25 a year. And that's for like a lower second wideout. These top wideouts are getting 35, 40. They're not going to be in that category of Ja'Marr Chase. But if you're looking at Romeo Dobbs or Watson as a one or two moving forward, which is what it will be, you're going to be paying mid-20s at a minimum. And with Romeo Dobbs, I you forgive, but you don't forget.
But there's,
and
but
what happened last year?
Ooh.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, but doesn't there have to be statistical production to back that number? Like, that's all I'm saying. Like, yeah. I get linemen are different. Like, we're in a different category because, like, we don't have any stats besides, like, sacks allowed. But, like, aren't receivers, like, they are solely based on their Pro Bowls and all that. But, like, their statistics are very clear, right? Like, their numbers and what they achieve is very, like, clear on what they're paid. Like, it's not like, I don't know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're demanding $25 million and your statistics show you this and you equal to this, like, to me, it's pretty clear. But again, I'm not an agent, and I don't do these things.
But if you look at it, yes, those numbers are important. But Christian Kirk from Jacksonville got 20 some million as a third wideout in Jacksonville with not great numbers. It's all about projecting and about what the potential might look like. You're right. You would think that you're going to have to put up 80 to 100 catches to get that. But if they're evaluating and saying you're going to be our number two, you know the game. You're going to look, well, what are number twos in the league getting? Oh, well, so-and-so in Miami's getting 28. So-and-so's getting this. And with the cap continuing to go up, that's the price of doing business. And I just think Green Bay is going to have tough decisions because I doubt that production is going to make it easy. Maybe one of these guys, but I would be shocked if you get two or three guys that you're looking at saying, we got to pay this guy. Maybe I'll be wrong, but I'd be surprised unless something changes drastically from last season.
And you have Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks the following offseason to figure out. On top of that, Romeo Doubs, forgive but not forget, is exactly right. I don't know how they don't wonder, is this guy going to not show up for work again if he's unhappy with his role again? You could say all is forgiven, but that's got to be somewhere in the back of their mind. And as I've said before, talking with somebody who works in the building, he can make himself a ton of money this year by putting his head down, staying healthy, and being productive, but I don't think the ton of money is going to be from the Packers. I think he can earn a really nice free agent deal from someone else. I don't think he'll have 80 catches. His numbers for his first three seasons, 42 for 425 and three touchdowns as a rookie, 59 for 674 and eight touchdowns in 23, 46 for 601 and four touchdowns last year. I don't expect him to be an 80-catch guy. And I don't expect him to get a second contract from the Packers. We'll see if I'm right or if I'm wrong. More with Brian Bulaga coming up. Tausch needs to tell us, though, woof, woof, about his big contest he's doing with Kohler Services.
Yeah, if you think your shower is ugly and you think it's one of the ugliest in Wisconsin, we have a solution. Upload a photo to goodkarmabrands.com/Wisconsin contest. And you can find that on that brand spanking new beautiful ESPN Wisconsin app that we've been talking about. You get a chance to win a free shower remodel. Yes, you heard me correctly. One lucky fan will win a free shower remodel from Kohler Services, including a design consultation, demolition, and removal of your stanky old shower or bath, and you get the installation of that brand new sparkling Kohler Lugstone shower. Upload your photo by April 30th to win at goodkarmabrands.com/Wisconsin contest. Again, you got a shot to get a free consultation, removal, and installation of a beautiful new Lugstone shower. Just go to goodkarmabrands.com/Wisconsin contest.
More Bulaga next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in.
Continuing our heavy Iowa-themed radio program today, we got Brian Bulaga now. We got Matt Bowen coming up a little bit later. Brian, I don't want to keep you all morning, but I usually do anyway. I'm curious, speaking of Iowa, you know, the Packers were heavily linked last year to Cooper DeJean, which obviously he was there. He was there. They took Jordan Morgan instead. He actually lasted till the second round, in fact. I'm just curious, now in your role as a analyst and fan, as opposed to being on the roster, do you get your hopes up for certain players? Do you get intrigued by certain players? You know, they've had the three top wide receivers other than Travis Hunter, who he's a wide receiver, he's a corner, he's a breath mint. I don't know what he is. He's a unicorn. They've had the next three wide receivers in for visits now.
Did you say he's a breath mint?
Yeah, it's an old reference to a commercial, which I would think you would get since you watch Dallas so religiously.
Breath mint?
Yeah, I'll send you the link. My point is
Blue, do you have any idea what that means?
No, you guys are younger than me.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm not catching on. Yeah.
Glad, I appreciate you interjecting. So
my question is, do you get your hopes up for any sort of specific player in the draft?
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Like, so here's the funny part about last year at that draft in Detroit. So where I was before, you know, before I walk out to go make the pick, I'm back in like their brain center, and where they're, you know, all the picks are coming in and you see it on the screen and they're handing you the card. And they bring you in like five picks before. So like you're back there and that's how early the picks are actually in, and that's how long it takes for TV. So the picks are in way early, and like it takes, mm-hmm. you know, it's a total production. So I'm sitting back there and, you know, the picks are coming through and they haven't handed me the card yet, but I see Cooper DeJean's name come up and they hand me the card, and I haven't, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to get to say this Iowa kid's name. like this is great. And then they're like, oh, the Eagles traded up and they took him. I'm like, oh, okay. That's all right. But, you know, no big deal. He was one that I was hoping that potentially, I got to read off it that in that second day, but it is what it is. And you know what? I think the Packers did pretty good on day two of the NFL draft with who they took anyway that day. I think the two guys that they got ended up being pretty good, and they're going to be pretty good. So no harm, no foul to them. But this year, in this year's draft, you know, I haven't really looked into it that much to see who I would really like the Packers to get. Probably next week I'll start doing a little bit more when I have to get ready.
Breaking
to
down the
up.
Film. Yeah.
I don't know how much film I'll break down of these college kids. Probably a little bit more once the Packers select somebody. You know what I mean? Then I have to at least look into who they are. But I'll probably start looking at the boards and who's who and what's what as we get closer next week when I actually have to go up to Green Bay to work with everyone and have fun. And so I know what I'm talking about. But that'll be next week. I'll start to look into that. But right now, like, it's so hard for me to, like, get into it at this moment, right? Like, it's hard for me because I just, you know, like, the stuff that's coming across social media is nuts. Like, I just see that Sanders and Trent and Hunter are getting their jerseys retired. Like, it's just crazy stuff like that. Like, it's not even about, like, the current draft process and guys actually going through things. Like, when I was going through it. Like, this was, like, dead period when I was going through the draft process. A week before the draft, like, you heard nothing from anyone. Like, it was, like, keep it quiet. Don't mess anything up. Just like stay out of the spotlight. Just be quiet. And like now it's the complete opposite. It's like how much noise can you make the week before the draft to get attention to yourself? And so like I just try to stay away from it and wait till a couple days before to really start looking into it and learn names because there's so much going on right now.
I'm still trying to figure out about breath mints. So,
yeah, I looked it up. I couldn't find anything about calling someone a breath mint.
So, Brian, I guess let's go to this wide receiver question then, because you know this is a story that it's every year now, right? Javon Walker. Like, if the Packers went 2 decades without drafting a tackle, and you were the last tackle they drafted. That's what we would talk about. Oh, Brian Bulaga, 2010 draft. They drafted a tackle the very next year. So it didn't that didn't last very long. They've drafted a lot of tackles. Not wide receivers. So Tet McMillan, Emeka Abuka, and Matthew Golden have all been in reportedly for visits. The idea that we were just talking about with two wide receivers that are going into the final year of their contract, two more that have one additional year left. This all makes sense to me. And there are a lot of Packers fans getting their hopes up. I know that you're not operating on that plane now, but if you're going to end a two-decade streak of not drafting a sexy position like wide receiver, what better place to do it than when you're hosting it in Green Bay? Now, I don't know how the board is going to fall, but what would it tell you if Goody does draft a wide receiver in the first round? What would that, if anything, say to you?
Well, I mean, it would certainly kind of address what we're talking about, that they got a lot of guys coming up for contracts, and he knows that he's not going to be able to retain probably majority, right? Like, and that's kind of what, to me, that jumps off the page as that, like, hey, we got four guys coming up in 2 years, essentially, and we can't keep everyone. And so we need to replenish, you know, the ranks. And so we're going in the first round to get a guy. And if they did that, I would not be surprised. Have they done it in the past? Obviously, you've said it. No, they have not. It would also say that, you know, to me, that as comfortable as we've seen him be with this group through free agency, he didn't find any free agents that he wanted to go into this room and help besides Hardman, right? And again, we'll see how that all works itself out as they get going here.
Mm-hmm.
As comfortable as he was and that he has confidence in this group, he still believes that the room needs a little pick-me-up as well. It needs a little support within, you know, and to add some depth to that room and some potential, you know, threat that they may not have at this point, depending on who they draft, right? Which player they pick up. I mean, all these receivers are not the same. You know, the guys that you read off, they all don't do the same thing. They're all different types of players. So depending on who they get, you know, they bring a different skill set. And to me, it'll show kind of what he's looking for, what he can add to that room that he doesn't already have. And the big kicker is when you don't have the big body speedster like Watson, is that the type of receiver that he's going to go try to get, right? Like a guy that is like that, that can stretch the field, that can win the one-on-one jump balls and things like that. So like that will be something that I look for if that's the type of receiver they go get. Because when Watson does come back, if you have two guys that are like that, and you can put those types of bodies onto the field, plus your tight ends, that's a lot of mismatches for defenses. Like that's a lot of you know, bigger bodies that corners and safeties don't really want to match up against. And it puts Jordan Love in a good situation to, you know, sometimes you just got to throw it up and trust your guys to go get it. And when you have bodies like that, you feel really good about it. And Aaron did it a bunch, and he always thought James Jones was that type of guy. James Jones wasn't a big body by any stretch of the imagination, but he always thought James Jones would win every 50-50 ball. He thought it was more like 70-30 when he threw it to James. So, like, if you have a couple guys that you feel can do that, it's a lot of confidence in the quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see if he goes down that route, what type of receiver he does take. But I wouldn't be shocked. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if he does. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because if the right guy is there, why not? Like, yeah, really,
it's a
like,
need.
You can't count on.
I am a Christian Watson stan, but you can't.
You're not a Christian.
Spindly. Hey, I didn't realize you were contributing to this segment. I thought you were done. I would say this. You can't count on him because he's coming back from a significant injury and he's in the last year of his contract. So his future is murky. No matter how much you like him, you just don't know at this point. You don't know if he comes back and plays well enough, if some team is going to be willing to pay him what you're not willing to pay him. So that compounds the need, in my opinion, for a wide receiver. Brian, you're going to be with us in person during the draft. Safe travels. We look forward to that. We appreciate our Wednesdays with you, buddy. Thanks.
Yep. See you guys next week.
Oh, we got something fun. Blue and I got something fun brewing for next week, too.
I hear Thursday. You have a celebrity judge who's involved as well.
I don't know what we all have.
And it's not Judge Judy. before we could get to the very late 10 o'clock hour, you need to tell us about Quick Trip. Maybe you and Brian have something going on at a local Quick Trip.
I'd love it if we did. Quick Star, Quick Trip. Life's busy, and Quick Trip gets it, whether you're craving that fresh coffee, tasty bakery treat, or a grab-and-go meal, Quick Trip is your go-to. A variety of apps. I'm a Motsi stick guy. Jason, you're a mini taco guy, I believe.
Love those.
And we love the ice cream. Quick Trip's Nature's Touch ice cream, chocolate and vanilla and cookies and cream, mint chocolate chip. That's not for me. Cookies and cream is. There is no such thing as a bad pick. And right now, you can get that gallon of Nature's Touch ice cream. It's got to be a typo. You can get that for $4.99 for a gallon of ice cream?
No, it's true. I saw it yesterday.
You can also get Nature's Touch milk for $2.99. And, of course, it's chicken, 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 chicken. You can get the whole roasted chicken on Mondays for $6.99, $9.99. You got the tenders. You got the bone-in chicken. That's today on Wednesdays. Quick Trip is your ultimate destination. Fuel your day with quality taste. Download the Quick Rewards app. Take advantage of everything that Quick Trip has to offer. Rewards on every visit. Plus, you can order ahead for pickup or curbside delivery. Quick Trip, we'll see you next time.
The 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Will Dean Tausch.